Religious Foundations for Tomorrow's World, The Baptist Hour. Let the word of love be spoken, and certain unforgettable pictures crowd in upon the mind. A mother bending low to croon above a sleeping babe. A young couple starting hand in hand down life's pathway together. That last long look exchanged as a loved one leaves for overseas. Or some scene from out your childhood's recollection of your mother's love. Whatever the picture and the memory, the Christian knows that all these are but symbols of God's love. So, this last program of this Baptist Hour series presents God's love as the answer to the world's most poignant need.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the Southern Baptist Radio Hour, for the fellowship we have with each other over the South and over the world, where this service is carried through the kind cooperation of these great broadcasting stations, making it possible for Southern Baptists and all who share the service with us to worship Thee together. For these 13 Sunday mornings, God bless the founder and director of this hour, and bless these who have lifted our spirits up to Thee these Sunday mornings on the wings of song. And now we come to this closing program. Empower it, dear God, every feature of it to Thy glory, that our lives and our all shall be dedicated so completely to bring the knowledge of the love of God to a world of hate and sin and death, that Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, His kingdom of light and love for His dear sake. Amen.
Will you receive that period of devotion as a reminder of the blessing that awaits you in God's house? The Baptist Hour Choir continues with the hymn of prayerful yearning, More Love to Thee.
Christ, Lord of glory.
Today's message has for its subject, Love is the Answer. The speaker is pastor of the First Baptist Church of Nashville, Tennessee, and president of the Southern Baptist Sunday School Board. We now hear Dr. W.F. Powell. Dr. Powell.
The general theme for the current and closing Baptist Hour messages has been religious foundations for tomorrow's world. The first in the series, however, was the Sermon on the Mount. Our Lord's climax and conclusion was to make the matter of an enduring foundation intensely personal and perilously imperative. It could be built only by translating his doctrines into deeds. Everyone, therefore, that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. Jesus alone leads the world to an enduring foundation. The chief characteristic of Hinduism is mysticism, of Buddhism, asceticism, of Mohammedanism, fanaticism. But the genius of Christianity is love. Three men lived in Rome at the same time: Nero, the imperial butcher, Seneca, the Stoic philosopher and statesman, and Paul, the imprisoned apostle of his Lord. Today, the world has become a slaughterhouse by the bloody business of imperial butchers who hold nothing so cheap as human life. And we've had little help from the Senecas in classrooms, editorial columns, legislative assemblies, and all too often in modern pulpits. Exponents of a Christless culture, proponents of materialistic or socialistic philosophies without any program, passion, or power for the redemption of mankind. Today, behold the chaos created by the world's Neros and Senecas. They have built their house upon the sand, and crowns are crumbling, dynasties dissolving, empires passing, and peoples perishing in a global war. A bleeding, blinded, broken world must yet hear the answer for an enduring foundation from that third man, Paul. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not its own, is not provoked, taketh not account of evil, rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoiceth with the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, endureth all things. But now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, and the greatest of these is love. What a word for the world today. Love hopes where reason despairs. It is the medicine of moral evil. Love is the wavelength of God. It has nail prints in its hands. It has a spear thrust in its side. A crown of thorns is on its brow. It conquered a cross and turned a tomb into a vestibule to glory. Love lights a candle in the sun. God is love. That is the only enduring foundation for tomorrow's world. When the last day is ended and the nights are through, when the last sun is buried in its grave of blue, when the stars are snuffed like candles, when the seas no longer fret, when the winds unlearn their cunning and the storms forget, when the last lip is palsied, when the last prayer is said, love shall live forever when the world lies dead. Love builds a kingdom on a cross. There have been only three foundations on which nations have been built: military power, commercial supremacy, and national righteousness. Rome's foundation was military power. Babylon built on commercial supremacy. Israel, the theocracy of the Old Testament. And our own United States, once the democracy of the New Testament, were born of spiritual motive, seeking the happiness possible only to that people whose God is the Lord. We who so bravely began our upward climb to the New Jerusalem are lost today in the jungle of greed and self-indulgence and strife, and the reeking rot of moral and social disintegration, having abandoned, as Israel of old, its first foundation, having left our first love, until to one generation religion is a conviction, to the second, a tradition, but to the third generation, it is often a nuisance. History can point to no parallel to our countries composing only 5.5% of the world's population, but possessing 58.5% of the world's wealth, turning its back upon its spiritual heritage, despising its blood-bought birthright of deathless love for country and home and the Savior of the world so completely that, being indifferent now to the spiritual salvation of other nations of the world, we are proceeding by the lives we are living to destroy our own. For America cannot survive another 50 years, the disintegration being insidiously wrought among us by increasing dissipation from drink, insanity, and debilitation from drunkenness and social diseases, adult indifference to country, home, and church, and the rapidly increasing delinquency of youth. Military power and commercial supremacy cannot save America, nor the nations of the world. The only pattern to be permanent now is the pattern of a kingdom built on a cross. Jesus and Alexander died at 33. One lived and died for self. One died for you and me. The Greek died on a throne. The Jew died on a cross. One's life a triumph scene, the other but a loss. One led vast armies forth, the other walked alone. One shed a whole world's blood, the other gave his own. One won the world in life and lost it all to death. The other lost his life to win the whole world's faith. Jesus and Alexander died at 33. One died in Babylon and one on Calvary. One gained all for himself, and one himself he gave. One conquered every throne, the other every grave. The one made himself God, the God made himself less. The one lived but to blast, the other but to bless. When died the Greek, forever fell his throne of swords. But Jesus died to live forever, Lord of lords. Jesus and Alexander died at 33. The Greek made all men slaves. The Jew made all men free. One built a throne on blood. The other built on love. The one was born of earth, the other from above. One won all this earth to lose all earth in heaven. The other gave up all, that all to him be given. The Greek forever died. The Jew forever lives. He loses all who gets and wins all things who gives. Love is the principle for universal peace. The world must choose between Christ and chaos, said Lloyd George at the close of World War I. The world did not choose Christ. We who profess him did not choose him either for ourselves or others. Had we loved him as he loved us, had we loved the world as he loved the World War II had never been. Chaos is the high cost of not loving him and the lost world for which he died. And when we have disposed of Hitler and Hirohito, the problem of which they are manifestations must yet be solved. Science has made the world a neighborhood. The world cannot survive as a neighborhood unless it becomes a brotherhood. The brotherhood of man must be found in the fatherhood of God. That is possible only through Jesus. Salvation, regeneration, and redeeming love came by him to the world. And working in human hearts that love binds man and nations to each other and to God. The greatest menace to navigation in all maritime history has been that of icebergs. Mountains of ice coming down from polar heights. Glaciers gliding silently across ocean travel, colliding with and crushing ships and men. The navies of the nations have kept warships on guard to shell them out of their sea lanes. And how helpless science and force have been to solve this sinister peril of the sea. But God solves the problem. He sends the Gulf Stream with its warmth to melt the icebergs, and the mountains of ice, centuries old, are melted into a liquid bed for ships safely to float upon in peace. The icebergs of hatred and age-long antipathies between nations, groups, and races have been battled by science and all human political, intellectual, and social techniques are in vain. 1900 years ago, Jesus launched the Gulf Stream of everlasting love from Calvary. Only love can melt mountains of frozen hatred into love, which begets love and deepens for tomorrow's world the enduring foundation of love. The greatest peace movement began on a mountain peak in Galilee. The intent, extent, and content of Christ's commission is to build the nations and races of this world into his kingdom of love. Love is the dynamic of the individual. In his redeeming love, Jesus visions individual value. He begins where man's need is greatest, in the heart. For at the heart of all human problems is the problem of the human heart. Solve that problem, and the world can be saved. Jesus solved that problem. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The price of my life is his love for me. The principle of my life is my love for him. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And the life filled with his love accepts the supreme obligation. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. All New Testament scriptures on love only enlarge the foundation and develop the dynamics for a life of love. Peter was saved by believing in Jesus as the Son of God, but he was sent to serve by professing his great love for Christ. Service is from the heart. The size of every man's service is the size of his soul. Love measures my praying, my Bible reading, my meditation. Love measures my giving. Love measures my witnessing. Love measures my ministry as a winner of souls. The risen Lord reminds us, as my Father hath loved me, even so have I loved you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Sent to all the world, the dynamic of the individual is declared to that end. But ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The dynamic which makes an individual an uplifting force in all the world is love, by which a unit embraces a universe. Thus, in the individual, Christianity becomes incarnate love, and angels shiver to the tips of their wings, beholding the transforming power of Christ's love, working in a life lived by love for him and the world for which he died, until his love is perfected in life's perfection. And while one single sin defiles his child, the crusade for Christ's likeness continues until Christian character becomes a sea of glass mingled with fire, and man reflects the image of his God again. Thou wonderful Lord Jesus, giver of life, conqueror of death, arbiter of destiny, from thy pierced hands all the centuries have fallen like grains of sand. Thou art the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid in thee. Bring a peace victorious to thy cause, back to a war-broken world, and empower thy people to build tomorrow upon the sure foundation of thy everlasting love. We pray today. Amen.
The music was by the Baptist Hour Choir under the direction of John D. Hoffman, with George L. Hamrick as organist. The speaker for today was Dr. W.F. Powell on the subject, Love is the Answer. A printed copy of the message by Dr. Powell will be sent to you free. A postal card will do. Those who request a copy of today's message will also receive the April copy of Open Window, a booklet published by the Baptist Sunday School Board, which contains a devotional thought for each day. You will thus be able to continue the sense of unity and fellowship which this series of 13 programs has encouraged. If you wish a copy of the message sent to a member of your family in the armed service, make your request by card, giving exact military address, and we will mail direct to the military address. Address your postal card request to the Baptist Hour in care of the station to which you are listening. The Baptist Hour has been presented by the Radio Committee of the Southern Baptist Convention in cooperation with state conventions as a contribution to the religious life of America, and has been carried as a public service feature by 36 stations on an independent network extending from the Eastern Seaboard to the states of the far Southwest. These radio stations have done their part superbly in making it possible for speakers and singers to render a service to many millions. On behalf of the Southern Baptist Radio Committee and Southern Baptists, we wish in this last program of the series to express our appreciation to these stations for their cooperation. Our sincere thanks also to individuals and groups whose programs were affected by necessary adjustments in schedule. The Baptist Hour Choir served on a voluntary basis. Script for the series was written by Edwin S. Preston. A new series of Baptist Hour programs may be heard beginning next Sunday over many of these same stations with Dr. M.E. Dodd of Shreveport as speaker. The Baptist Hour came to you today from the studios of WSB, Atlanta, Georgia. Percy Hurl speaking. Religious Foundations for Tomorrow's World. The Baptist Hour. This is an independent Southern network.